Welcome back, everyone. Hope you had a great weekend. This is Jackie and Me, Chapter 3, A Great Deal. About a mile from my house, in a strip mall off Shelbyville Road on the east side of Louisville, is a baseball card store called Flip's Fan Club. The owner, Flip Valentini, sells new cards, old cards, comic books, and all kinds of collectibles, from Mickey Mouse to Marilyn Monroe. He also buys all kinds of stuff and has some valuable things in his collection. Flip is a cool guy because he's really old, 60 or 70 or something, but he still reads comic books and cares about stuff that usually only kids care about. He told me he got the nickname Flip because when he was a kid, he and his friends played a game where they would flip baseball cards against a wall. The kid whose card landed closest to the wall got to keep all the cards that were flipped. It's hard to believe that kids actually used to do that. I mean, today, those cards would be worth a fortune. If Flip had taken care of his cards when he was a kid, he'd be rich today.
How was I going to know that baseball cards would be worth anything? Flip laughs.
He told me that when he grew up and left home, his mother threw his entire baseball card collection in the garbage. Can you imagine? Hundreds of cards from the 1940s and 1950s trashed. It must have traumatized him for life, I figure. That's probably why Flip started a business buying and selling cards when he retired. Flip's Fan Club opened about 6 months ago. The card store I used to go to, Home Run Heaven, went out of business, and Flip bought up all the stock. I ride my bike over to Flip's Fan Club all the time, so Flip knows me and is pretty nice to me. I took off my bike helmet and replaced it with my Dodgers cap before I entered the store.
Long time no see, Joey, he greeted me.
There were only a few other people in the store.
What can I do for you today?
I'm looking for a Jackie Robinson card, Mr. Valentini.
Brooklyn Dodgers?
Flip mumbled, reaching under the counter.
Dem bums? My team. I grew up in Brooklyn, you know. Let me see. I got a 51 Robinson.
I need a 1947, I replied. His rookie year.
There are no 1947 cards, Joey.
What?
They didn't print them. During World War II, the government needed as much paper and ink as they could get. The baseball card companies had to stop production. They didn't crank up again until 1948. There was no 1947 Jackie Robinson rookie card.
My heart sank. I wouldn't be able to make my trip back in time after all. Flip saw how disappointed I was.
I do have something, he said. But I gotta warn you, it's pretty expensive.
He went to the back of the store and returned a few minutes later with a batch of cards in his hand.
In 1947, Jackie Robinson was signed by the Bond Bread Company to endorse their products, Flip said. Bond issued a set of 13 cards, with Robinson caught in a different pose for each one. They're very rare. A guy sold me the complete set a while ago.
How much is it worth? I asked.
More than you have in your pocket, I bet.
How much?
$5,000.
I exhaled.
Joey, I'll give it to you for $4,500 because you're a regular customer.
$4,500? I had a $20 bill in my pocket. I had been hoping I would be able to use it to get a Robinson card and maybe a little change back. To come up with that amount, I would have to mow about 500 lawns, and I didn't even have a power mower. How much is just one card?
I hate to break up the set, Flip said, because it makes it hard to sell the rest of it. But for you, one card, $400.
Flip handed me one of the cards. There was a black and white photo of Jackie Robinson on the front. He was sliding into home plate. The umpire had thrown his arms out to the sides to indicate Robinson was safe. On the back of the card was a picture of a loaf of bread. Above the bread was Robinson's signature after the words,
Homogenized Bond makes a hit with me every time. Below the bread were the words, Folks, why not eat the bread that Jackie eats? Homogenized Bond. Right away, I could feel that tingling sensation in my fingertips. That's how I could tell I would be able to use the card to travel back through time. $400 was still way out of my league, but I had an idea. If I could come up with $400, I asked Flip, could I buy the card from you and then sell it back to you for $400? I only need the card for a few days.
Why do you need a 47 Robinson card so badly?
Flip asked, looking at me a little suspiciously.
And why do you only need it for a few days?
I'm a Dodger fan, I said, tipping my cap, and it's kind of a secret. Flip looked me over, as if he were trying to decide if he could trust me or not.
I shouldn't be doing this, he finally said, putting the card in a plastic holder. But I'm a lousy businessman, and you love the bums. Take the card, no charge. Bring it back in a few days, and we'll call it square. Does that sound like a deal to you?
Yeah.
Now get out of here before I change my mind. And take good care of that card, you hear?
Flip warned, pointing his stubby finger at me.
If you lose it or damage it, I'm going to have to charge you for it.
We shook hands. I put the card in my backpack and pedaled home with my treasure. Chapter 4. Going back, back, back. Mom was not entirely supportive when I told her of my plan to go back to 1947 to meet Jackie Robinson. N-O, she spelled. No more time travel. Out of the question. But Mom, what if somebody ticks you off and you lose your temper in the past? She asked. You could get into a lot of trouble.
I won't lose my temper, I promised.
What if you get hurt? The doctors in 1947 didn't know what we know today. They didn't have our medicines, CAT scans.
I'm not going to get hurt, I assured her.
What about school?
I won't miss any school.
Last time I went back in time, it was the next morning here when I came back. And I'm going to do a report on it, Mom, for history class. It's going to be educational.
Mom's a sucker for anything educational. I could ride my bike off a cliff, and if I could convince her that I did it so I would learn about the physics of falling objects, she would probably say it was all right. But this time, she wouldn't bite.
Joey, I said no.
You can't stop me, you know, I announced angrily. I could just go, and you would never even know I was gone.
Joe, when I wake up in the morning, I expect you to be in your bed every day. That's all I have to say.
I will be, Mom. I promise.
Mom gave me one of those hugs where she won't let go for a long time.
I know I can't stop you if you really want to do this, she said, looking me in the eye. If you go against my wishes, just do me one favor. Be careful. And please bring along a coat.
Baseball season begins in April, Mom. It's springtime.
What about global warming? She pointed out. They say the Earth is a lot warmer than it used to be. There's a hole in the ozone layer now.
I rolled my eyes, and she caught me.
I just worry about you, Joey, Mom said, mussing up my hair. You've never been to New York City. It's dangerous. What if you run into Al Capone or some other criminal?
I'm just going to meet Jackie Robinson, Mom. Then I'll come right home. Besides, people always say how much safer New York City used to be a long time ago. Isn't that why the past is called the good old days?
A few nights later, after dinner, the doorbell rang. Mom motioned for me to get it, so I knew it had to be my dad. My parents have been divorced for a couple of years now. They're on speaking terms, but Mom prefers not to speak with Dad if she doesn't have to. Dad lives in Louisville, too, and we get together once a week or so. Mom scurried off to the kitchen. I let Dad inside. He was carrying a suitcase. I noticed that my initials, J.S., were embroidered on it.
Hey, buddy, he said, overly enthusiastic. Mom told me you got the itch to travel through time again.
Yeah, I think I'm ready to try another trip, Dad.
In that case, I brought you something.
He reached into his jacket pocket, pulled out a baseball card, and handed it to me. I recognized the face of Babe Ruth right away. I flipped the card over and looked at the back. It was from the 1930s, and probably worth $100 or more. Dad's a machinist at a Louisville factory. He doesn't make a lot of money, not enough to be throwing around presents like this one.
Wow,
I exclaimed.
I want you to have it, he said. You can use it, you know.
I knew exactly what he meant. Dad grew up in New York, and he's always been a huge Yankees fan. His favorite player of all time was Babe Ruth. When Dad was a kid, he told me, he and his friends would wait outside Yankee Stadium after games for the players to leave the clubhouse. Then they would ambush the players for autographs before they were able to get to their cars. Dad built up his autograph collection over the years, and now he's got just about all the Yankee greats, except for Ruth. Babe Ruth died before my dad was even born, and his autograph is very expensive. Ever since we discovered I could travel through time using baseball cards, Dad had been hinting around that I should pay a visit to Babe Ruth and get his autograph. That's why he got me the Ruth card.
Did I ever tell you the story of Ruth's called shot? Dad asked.
Only a million times. In the fifth inning of Game 3 of the 1932 World Series, the Babe hit a monstrous home run over the center field fence at Wrigley Field in Chicago. According to baseball legend, just before the pitch, Ruth pointed toward center field and said he was going to sock the ball there. Some people say Ruth called his shot. Others say he never even pointed at the fence at all. There's a film that was taken of that at bat, but it's too fuzzy to tell exactly what's going on. Dad wanted me to go back to 1932 and find out if Babe Ruth really called his shot or not.
It's the biggest mystery in all sports, Joe, he said excitedly, and you're the only person in the world who can solve it.
Dad, I really want to meet Jackie Robinson, I said. Maybe I'll visit Babe Ruth another time. Dad sighed. He knew I'm pretty stubborn, and he wasn't going to talk me into it.
What's in the suitcase? I asked.
Nothing, he said, handing it to me.
It's empty.
Dad, I already have a suitcase.
It's not for your clothes, he whispered, like he didn't want Mom to hear.
I knew my dad pretty well. I had a feeling about what he had in mind.
Joey, when you go back in time, I want you to buy up as many baseball cards as you can, he said, taking out his wallet and peeling off a $10 bill. Fill the suitcase with them, then bring the cards back with you. Can you imagine how much a suitcase full of mint condition cards from the 1940s will be worth in today's market? Thousands.
I looked at him. My aim in going to 1947 wasn't to make money. I just wanted to meet Jackie Robinson. What he was asking me to do probably wasn't illegal, but something about it didn't feel right. And besides, I told him, baseball cards weren't even printed in 1947.
If Bond Bread made a set of Robinson cards, Dad insisted, I'm sure other companies printed baseball cards too. People had cards from before the war. They'll probably give them to you for nothing.
My dad is my dad. I took the $10 bill and stuffed it in my pocket. I filled a duffel bag with t-shirts and blue jeans, clothes that I hoped wouldn't attract too much notice in 1947. I also packed my toothbrush, my Game Boy, stuff I would bring with me on any long trip. I had almost forgotten to pack the most important thing, a baseball card. Just as I needed a 1947 card to get to 1947, I would need a present-day card to get home again. Baseball cards, to me, were sort of like plane tickets. They took me to the past and then back to the present. I went through my card collection. It didn't really matter which current day card I chose. Even a card of the worst bench warmer in the big leagues would get me back home when I needed to return. No, I decided. When I travel, I want to travel in style. I pulled out my best card, Junior, Ken Griffey Jr. He would get me back home when I was ready to leave the past. I slipped the Griffey card in my wallet. Mom knocked on my door. I thought she was going to try to talk me out of taking my trip one more time. She didn't. She simply handed me a styrofoam cooler, undoubtedly packed with enough food to last a year. You be careful now, you hear? She said. I promised that I would, and she put the cooler at the end of my bed. After I put my duffel bag and Dad's empty suitcase on the bed too, there wasn't a whole lot of room left for me. I squeezed on, somehow, and took out the Jackie Robinson card. Mom kissed me on the forehead and shut the door behind her. I held the card with both hands against my chest and thought of the year 1947, the Brooklyn Dodgers, New York. It wasn't long before I felt that tingling sensation in my fingertips and then all over my body. It was a pleasant feeling, almost like a cat purring in your ear. Jackie Robinson. What was he like? I wondered. What must it have been like for him? What did he have to put up with, being the first African American to play in the big leagues in the 20th century? I wished I could see what he experienced. And then I dropped off to sleep.